You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
See, our guest is here inside already, right? Got like Vonzen, like Daisy Vonzen, right? You related to Daisy? I never asked that. You related to Daisy? That's your great grandmother.
Yeah, yeah. Some family.
Okay. Some family, Daisy Vonzen. All right. So, God boy, with the what's the name of your project again, and your whole institution, the with the Man Project. Really? Hello? I'm not hearing you there. Not hearing you. Turn on your mic there.
You hear me now, Mr.?
Yeah.
Okay. So the DMN Project is more about raising advocacy for men and boys and young men. So discussions like this, trying to be in rooms to create more stuff for them and execute on them, because we like to talk. Mm-hmm. We like to act as much. So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks for having me on.
Nice, man. No problem. I remember on another station when I used to work before, more on urban radio with more the youths and stuff, I had a show called The Middle Men. Because I always found that, you know, women always talk to women, but men don't talk to men. And I was trying to create, like, you know, probably it's doing now, it's probably 10 years later, but sometimes you have a vision. But, you know, I play some men to talk and talk about men's issues and all kind of thing. I say, basically, talking things that men, but I'm saying men need to talk. Men need an avenue, an outlet, because we don't, you know? So that was like 10, 15 years ago. So it's nice to know it's happening. So we're talking about suicide in the younger. I was saying just this morning, we saw, they said there's a suicide of Mr. Wayne Yip Choi. I don't know if you heard about that. He's a well-known gentleman in the business. They say he was found dead in his home. You know, but I was even saying that sometimes, you know, once you see somebody found dead, unless there's a proper investigation is done, how do we know it's really a suicide? But what really would cause someone? You don't know if there's one single cause or causes someone with your experience, somebody to want to commit suicide in the first place.
Well, first of all, before we even get to that, this morning, right? If you look at December to now, you've had Russell Bidasi, you had Shaquille Curtis McCoy just the other day. I posted about that online. And now you have Wayne, I'm sure when he gets up in the morning, you see that as news.
Right.
We can pinpoint one thing in particular that would make people feel as though that is the final thing that they have to do. Because
right.
When you reach to that point, you're out of options. As far as you think about it, you're totally out of options. This is the only way. Just imagine that. Imagine how many thought processes you have before you get to that last point of saying this is the only way. So I don't think we could pinpoint it. I do think that some people are just not able to deal with certain things, certain pressures of life. And you were mentioning earlier about the young people and how they deal with stuff. And that's a valid point. I think sometimes we try to teach the same old narrative without understanding that things have changed, like things like emotional intelligence and conflict resolution.
Yeah,
that should be taught in the school now. We don't teach those things.
Exactly.
Now, those are the things that would help them now in this day and age adapt.
Yeah,
one of the issues I keep having is that we continue to apply old narratives to new problems.
I like that. Of course, but we see how young people do with things now. We have a lot of, we used to fight back in the days in school, but now it's just a total different, like everything is just a fight. And you're seeing girls fighting. Oh, I've never seen so many girls fighting in my life. Boys used to be fighting, but now girls fighting, everybody fighting, parents fighting, everything is just that we fight. Like you said, there's no way to resolve everything. So, after you finish, you do that, and then there's a problem. People like they just don't know how to deal and how to cope, you know, with problems. It could be the simplest thing or the heaviest thing. Is it because there's no one to turn to? Because we live in this kind of isolated thing. You don't want to talk to nobody. They might laugh at you. Somebody might be telling somebody a business all over the place. You know, what could be?
Base, one of the things that I have really done over the last couple of years is be really transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a good example of the last suicide that we had with Shaquille, right? Rest in peace. And condolences to his family.
Mm.
There were reports that he did go to his authorities. So for me, I don't think it's a matter of you just having the issue. You know,
that's the soldier guy. The soldier.
Yeah. Because I got a voice note in my Instagram DMs from another soldier. And he said, "Bro, when you go to them, they ridicule you." So it's not just a matter of if you could deal with the issue. We all have issues, right?
Right,
we all have different ways that we cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ask any question about, well, what could we do? Well, where can we go? The issue should be, where can we go Are the resources available? And if I Google it right now and I see five things come up, are they still functioning? See, this is one of the problems that we have in, and nobody's really talking about it. That is why I like to take the opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot say that they have the issue and this happens, and then, like you said earlier in the program, the outrage may be lasting 3 days and then we on to the next, right? The resources are not there. And if they are there, why do we not see more of it in terms of marketing campaigns or on the media? Why do we not see more of it? There are a lot of people going through things right now. But where do they go? That's the question, is where are they going to go?
Where do they go? Now, this same soldier, Shaquille, there was also another clip with him talking about appreciate life. It was so, you know, such an oxymoron. I mean, appreciate life, give thanks to life. And he seemed like such a positive guy. And I was saying that some of the most people who putting on this positive, happy, smiling, everything is okay, living today for today, they seem to be some of the most, I don't know, depressed people out there. Like, if it's just a front they're putting on, like, people just tell me, why base your thing, you're negative and you're so serious and thing and this and that. But killing myself is the last thing that I would do. I happy, you know. Real happy. It's just that I'm not guy smiley all over the place, hug up everybody thing. I kind of isolate myself from people because I know people do a little bit. I'm kind of different. But some of these people who really seem to be so jovial and happy and smiley, they seem to be the ones who are more inclined to commit suicide. Why that may be?
Well, Delson Charles and myself and Crossley had a program years ago, and we talked about it. It's behind the mask, right? People have put on a mask from the time men were younger and they were boys, from the don't cry, get up, dust it off, keep moving on, big boys don't cry, that type of mentality, that conditioning.
Yeah.
That's where the mask came on. So the mask didn't come on when they grew up. Enough. The mask was there from before. So what you find is a lot of the same people who exude all this energy, when they're in their alone time, that's where the issue is. And this is why I'm saying, like, if there's a resource that when they get to their alone time, they could reach out to, it makes sense. So those same people that you're talking about, those are the people who have now, if I use the words correctly, have now learned how to really, really, really operate with the mask on.
Mm-hmm. Operating with the mask on, boy. But is that, you know, is that really, really okay? And then, you know, sometimes, like men, like I say, who do men turn to? You turn to some other men, sorry, your peers and your partners, they ridicule you and laugh at you. You might turn to your closest confidant, your woman, your girlfriend, or some female companion, and then she say, well, boy, you soft, you know, what kind of thing is that, boy, man up now, you know? So where do men really go?
Yeah, but that's the question. That's the $100 million question now, because recently we had a live and we actually went online looking for the resources. And as soon as the thing happened, the resources automatically appeared somewhere on Instagram. Mm. So my thing is, you know, we do campaigns for everything else. We do campaigns for parties. We do campaigns for elections. We do campaigns for everything you can think about. You know, I mean, there was one time, based, not to even get too funny, but one time we did a condom campaign in Trinidad and Tobago. But yet still, we're not doing a mental health issue drive or awareness drive or campaign with the resources available. And the feedback you get from some of the resources that are available is that when they call, they don't feel like they get help because the person that they call on the other line have an attitude.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So we're looking at training of social workers. We're looking at making the social workers feel like they have value as well, because you're overwhelming them with things that they're going to get to a point where they and all get frustrated. But we have to have an availability and a visual of where these resources are, because, like you said, some men are not going to talk to their girlfriends or their wives. Some men are not going to talk to the fellas who everybody in the group bump in their chest, and who's a businessman, and who's a this, and who's a that. So when they're by themselves, what opportunity they have to reach out to get the help that they may need? Not everybody could afford therapy, you know what I mean? So,
right. So
this is the conversation that we have for 2 days, base, right? Mm-hmm. Shaquille died the other day. Now we wake up this morning and my phone messages off the yin yang now. Now Wayne Yip Choi from Angostura. That's all we know, right? And rest in peace to him too, and his condolences to his family as well. But what does it take for us as a society, as a country, to say, hey, there's a crisis with our men in Trinidad and Tobago? In 2018, 2022, it was 10.92 per 100,000 people that committed suicide in Trinidad and Tobago. And 78% to 83% of those cases, guess who they were?
Not men.
Men.
Men, yeah.
men. Mm-hmm. So again,
and what age group? What age group you would say? Is it younger, older, or just across the board? What
the age group runs from 18 to 50 and 60. Mm-hmm. You live in a society where now it doesn't even really matter. Before it was, either young people who just can handle it early, or yeah, these older people, right? Mm. But it doesn't seem to have a. The thing is, it doesn't seem to have an age group anymore. It just has now become a crisis. Mm-hmm. So my question has always been, what are we doing about it? Where are our meetings? Where are the ideas? Where are the creations? Where is the execution? Mm-hmm. You understand? We have outrun and outrage for 3 days.
Yeah.
Until something come up. It just so happened that within the last 3 days, we have two of them back to back.
Yeah, boy, that's... Huh.
It's a sad state for a country that constantly turns the other way, or they know it's happening because somebody was talking about awareness. They're aware it's happening.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and I will say this, and it hurt my heart to say this, but sometimes it's only when it starts to affect us in our house is when we want to react to it.
For real. Any research was done, what are some of the, let me say, the top three or top five causes why men commit suicide? Like, cause, I know probably financial problem, relationship.
Financial, yeah.
Yeah, financial, number one, relationship, maybe number two. What are some of the other causes why a man would want to take his life?
Well, like I said, you can't really pinpoint things in general, specifically, but in general, we talk about things like depression,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like lack of worth or failure to recognize their own value.
Mm.
Not having enough support systems. You know, like I said, we're dealing with a gender. So we deal with men who have been conditioned to not talk about issues or problems, right? Simple things as from going to the doctor to really talking to somebody about the issues that we have. And what they do is they find other avenues to get rid of this frustration. So when you see a man that's always partying or whatever, like you said, laughing, joking, all type of pictures, reels, all
life of the party, the life of the party.
Yeah. And then next week you see it, and then you be like, "Oh my God, boy, I didn't even know that."
Right?
You want to, boy? And then after we go from feeling sorry for them to saying, "Man, he weak, boy. He gotta come and talk to me."
Yeah.
Well, maybe he tried,
and you know, maybe you brush him off or something. You know,
well, we don't really teach people how to understand what the message looked like either, you know, like to look at different signs. Like sometimes people who just pull themselves back from what they would normally be doing. And basically, I'll give you a good example. We ran a little, not a campaign, but something smaller. We said, today is the day that you reach out to that strong friend, right? You reach out to that fellow who always have things in check, right? Call him, text him, send him a voice note, something. And you wouldn't believe that responses from that made some men feel like, yo, okay, cool. Because it just make you feel like you care a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, initially, you'll be kind of hesitant, like, what do you want, boy? You know what that has been. But just the idea of somebody reaching out to you, that you cross their mind. And we don't do that. Men don't do that for one another. There's only a few of us do.
Yeah.
But the majority of men don't. And those are the same men that when we hear about them on the news, we seem so surprised. But it was like, well, you know, you didn't even know what was going on there in the first place. So the surprise is because of you, like not knowing, or what's the surprise from?
Yeah, but I could have this guy who just called me, right? I don't know. But I don't know if you tell the man he needs a bush bat or something, but it's just problems after problem after problem. He house burned down the other day. I tried to help him to get, you know, social development, whatever the thing they call them thing. He waiting by his mother. Before that, there's this problem. Before the girl walk, a thing. But let's try. But sometimes, as soon as that phone ring, you know, it's a problem, boy. Sometimes I just kind of, my own problems I'm going through too, you know. But,
I mean, everybody have their own issues that they're going through as well too. Mm. So, you know, and then remember, we don't talk more about, in this life now, we don't talk about collaborations and things more anymore. We talk about competition, right? True.
Mm.
So, if you're competing, you really don't want, you might want to know what the other person doing, but not to work with them. You might want to just outwork them.
Mm.
And once you have that, that's a form of isolation right there. So now, all the voices that you might be hearing in your head is just yours.
Hmm. What about social media? Has social media increased, you know, suicide? Because, I mean, a lot of people living through what they see on the social media, trying to keep up with these Joneses and stuff, you know. Has social media, any study saying that social media really kind of make this thing a little more critical?
Well, man, I will tell you something. Even from some of the research that that we would do, a lot of it is not just male alone, it's male and female, right? But young people in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have your comparison of your real life to somebody highlight reel, right? That's what you're seeing. So you've seen all the good things that they did, the trips, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's something that you could utilize, base, or something that you could use, mm-hmm. right? Businesses use it. People utilize it a lot. So it has affected a lot of people. And there have been studies now. There are people who send another thing saying, you know, if you've been affected by social media, you could call this number.
Yeah.
So it also now comes to me with young people. I think it's more of what's the controls on it for them, right? Mm-hmm. And then for the older people or the men, it's another way of comparison, but it's also another way of competition, right? Because now I want to show the car I drive in, because Bass put up his car last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of those things. But then, you know, it's something that there's a limited amount of control with what people see on there and what they feed into. But this is where your support group comes in very, very important. Like, you have to have a good support group. Like, you have to have people that you can talk to and open up to who can receive the conversation. Because, like I said, I think we talk a lot about the issue, but we really talk about the solution. And sometimes the solution is just being able to listen to what the person has to say without judgment and without trying to fix it.
Yeah, man. But speaking of support and fixing the problem, the issue, I don't know if you know the story of the young man in school when they took a video of his shoes, and it was very old and battered, and some people laughed at him. But the entire nation, a lot of people got together and, you know, bought him new shoes. I think he probably had more shoes right now than he could have. They went to the barber, he take a nice haircut, he bling in, they give him Gucci watch and thing and this and that and all kind of things. So, I mean, they really came. It's a kind of, I mean, I don't know if I say it's a bad, out of the evil, if the young boys in the school, they said they were trying to help him or trying to ridicule him or whatever. But out of that came some good. But after that, now, what does he learn? What does he take away from that? Does he take away, well, this is how I had to be happy? You know what I mean? You know, do I have to
base,
have all these
base,
material things
that
to
is
be happy?
Base, I think it really my mind, and no brother.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I saw it, I really applauded the effort. I applauded that they came together to address that one instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger issue here is not even just that one person. The bigger issue is the bullying in school. So mm-hmm. are we addressing the bullying in school on a larger scale, or are we just going to address it every time it pops up?
Right.
And then, like you said, okay, this comes and happened, and he goes to school, and he doesn't get bullied about his shoes anymore.
Mm.
So what happens if he gets bullied about something else? You know what I mean? So we sometimes are very reactive as a country and not as proactive as we should be. The cause and the issue is the bullying in school. Yes, I'm not saying don't help. I'm not saying, you know, and to tell you the truth, man, if you're being transparent, some of the extra stuff that he got didn't even make sense for what he's trying to do.
Mm.
Right? To me, like, but again, the help was good. It was a good gesture. But are we dealing with the root issue at the school, which
exactly.
is the bullying?
Yeah. Right. And what about parents? How they raising their children these days? Some parents giving their children things than values, you know? We're raising our children. You don't want your children to live the kind of life you did. Everybody want better for the next generation. I don't want my son or my daughter to go through what I went through. But is that creating a softer generation to not to be able to know how to deal with things, with problems? They ain't bathing by no standpipe no more. They not to stand up and travel no more. They not to do this. They not to do that.
No drama water.
Yeah. You know, as soon as the electricity gone, it ain't no air condition. Oh, God, is like the worst thing, you know? So, I mean, are we raising soft children now?
Well, I don't want to say that we're raising soft children. And I think every parent, right, even godparents and aunts and uncles, would always want to offer something more to the generation that coming behind them in terms of his kids or family, right? So, so I don't think we're raising soft children. I see the question for that. And sometimes I post stuff for people to just think about, right? The question is this. If you look at the week and the 7 days of the week, how much time does a parent actually spend with their children?
Mm-hmm.
And then how much time does that child actually spend online with the algorithm, right? And the things he's looking at or she looking at on the phone. So the raising of giving them stuff or whatever, if we're teaching them, hey, you deserve more, that's a good point. If we're teaching them, hey, I want you to be better because I had to go through this, and you show them the way or you give them the why behind it, that's another good point. But with now... We look at parenting, kind of, again, we live in with an old narrative, parenting back in the day when my mother and father was, if I come down the street too late, somebody in the community want to cut my tail. That's not happening anymore, right? We talked the other day about male mentors. Where are they? Do they even exist? So parents have it hard because now everything in society has changed. Things have gotten more expensive. So guess what? Father and mother are working hard. Don't even talk about the single mothers or even the single fathers, right?
Yeah.
Everybody working hard to provide for the child. And sometimes I think in that process that we neglect a part of it, which is spending enough time. Like, do we know who their friends are? So again, some of the issues, it seem more superficial. Like, are we just giving them too much stuff? But are we giving them quality time though? You know, that should be the question.
Mm-hmm. And how much of this will be, you know, of course, a percentage of the men who commit suicide would have some kind of mental issues and they wouldn't know. A lot of people like to blame the drugs, the weed they're smoking now. Say they like the weed long time. It's like, okay, I think people smoking too much. But how much of a percentage of that is really, you know, with a mental issue, if there's a way to find it? And how do we get men to really say, well, listen, I have a problem, you know, and it's okay to go and deal with that. Say we don't do therapy. I think it's much better than it was back then. You know, it's that I end up in St. Anne's. But you know how much of a mental issue it is going on with people out there?
Well, basically, may I ask you this question before I answer that? Where else besides St. Anne's do you know you could go to get help for mental health issues? You
must have some place of therapy out there.
No, but where you know? What do you
mean? I don't know. I could call, if I exactly. call, I'm sure I could find out.
Well, guess what? It's you and I, right? You and I now saying, okay, if something happened with us, with Bass or me, how do I get help? So imagine this is a general thing. Most men wouldn't know where to go get help.
Mm.
And the mental health issues are sometimes trauma from when they were younger. So they continue to cope with this as they go along until it just becomes too much. So in terms of we need more visibility of what the resources look like, where we can get resources to, because then if the person himself or herself doesn't want to go, right? And I deal with men, so I will say for himself, is the fact that if somebody in his supporting group has the information, maybe they could find a way to have the conversation with him.
Mm.
Right? Because a lot of people can blame drugs and all these, where you grow up and all kind of things. They can blame all those things.
Yeah.
But those are just the issues. What is the solution? The solution is resources, education, community development. Like I said, campaigns where people could see, because most men do not just show up on the first count. If you create a workshop, most men not come in on the first workshop. You might have to do 2, 3, get them involved in a card game, a cookout, a football match, something to entertain them to come in and then kind of get them in the conversation. So imagine for the man who has mental health issues and one might be ashamed to even say he have an issue. How hard is it for him to reach out to anybody?
Yeah.
You know, right. So it's not a one-trick pony. We have a lot of things we have to try to work on. And I think we've lost the idea of community in general. So that's what was initially the support system.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have a little bit more visibility of what the resources look like as a first step. That's first, because then they know at least there's an option. And we have to bring back the community and supporting the communities and get people who are on the ground working together to create more sustainable programs for people and not these 6 months, 3 months, yeah, a caravan that all of a sudden would, like, the wheels fall off because we never hear about it after. You know, like, what's going on?
Yeah, man. We'll take some calls in a short while. 625-2257, 627-3223. Men, call us up. And what about we getting ready to celebrate just now one of the most underrated days in the year, Father's Day. What about the absenteeism of fathers in the home? Especially with these young boys, women raising a lot of boys by themselves. Not that they can, but, you know, there are some things that a father could do, and sometimes a boy really needs his father. What about the absenteeism of the fatherhood around these boys who may be committing suicide?
Well, that was the conversation last week, male mentorship. We talked about communities. We've gotten so far away from communities where they had male mentors. And I gave this example of me riding my bike, and the chain came out. One of the men who I know, Selwyn, who's helped me with fitness, and he helped me fix the bike chain. Now, that doesn't mean my father gonna help me, but that was one of the male role models in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the lack of community and the lack of male mentors, and I don't like to use the word role models because none of us are perfect,
right.
But I mean male mentors, those things are missing. You know, we talked about it recently. I asked a question, like, do we have anybody that shows up in that space that's not a therapist? Like, we don't need a therapist in those situations. We need people who are doing this stuff You need male mentors to be something that's there, because even the single mothers who raising, trying to raise the boy. Now, and sometimes you might get a little flack, but that's one side of a coin, right? Mm-hmm. There is a need for a male presence.
Yeah.
And if the father's not there, based on whatever, again, this is family stuff, so I don't get into that. But there should be some type of male mentorship,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what I'm saying. If you look at it based to 85% of the teachers that we have are female.
I always talk about that, you know, you too understand? Many female well, teachers in schools. I always talk about that.
We talk about it often, and I post about it often because mm-hmm. of the fact that people are for somewhat not seeing the relationship between having males as teachers in schools, mm-hmm. just as it is important to have women as teachers in schools, because where do these kids spend most of their time?
Yeah, in school. But men really, men are moving away from the teaching profession, because with some of them children going to school now, trust me, I tell you, I couldn't be a teacher. You put me in jail, right? But men are moving away, sadly, from the teaching profession. Yeah.
Well, base, that's the issue, right?
Mm.
So now the solution would be finding ways to get men back into that system of being teachers. Mm. I had PE teachers that were men.
Yeah,
of course. The dean was a man. The guidance counselor sometimes could have been a man or woman. These things no longer exist.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that is the solution, is how do we get more men interested in doing that? And a lot of that thing comes from marketing as well, too. Like I said, we live in a visual society, but yet still we don't see visual marketing or visual messaging as a way to get people interested. It confuses me how we don't have the relationship. I don't understand.
All right, let's take some calls there on the topic. 625-2257, 627-3223. We're talking about, you know, males and suicide. The rate is high. Look, we had just two back-to-back there. A soldier who, you say, reached out to his superiors and he was ridiculed. And now we have Mr. the man from Angostura there. Hello, good day.
Good afternoon again, Base.
Mm-hmm.
In each health center, I know for Rima, right, and Aruka, they have a social worker a day to go and talk to the social worker.
Okay.
So when someone have a problem, they can go. Sometimes it have lots of people. Sometimes they'll tell you, well, okay, then come back another day. When they're talking to a client, they can't just say, well, okay, then you make an appointment and what. There's a listening, a two-way conversation where it is the person will find out what it is they can go or where they can go from there, or what session should they get, go further or whatever. And also, there is the hospital in Cora where people get therapy when they go in there, just like St. Anne's Hospital. Thank you, Base.
All right, you know, so you have to go to these places, but I think it's time that, you know, sometimes these places come to you, something. I always mention the barbershop. I always found the barbershop to be the excellent place for men to talk. I mean, the barber might be a therapist, but it is a place where you could talk. Women just talk to women, the hairdresser. You just, if you ever think waiting for a woman by the hairdresser, I used to own a barbershop here, salon, right? Women talking all day, yap, talking, you know, his problems being solved, thing, if it just letting out, you know, your frustrations and stuff. But, you know, there's nowhere for men. Men go do that by way, by the bar, with the bartender, you know?
Yeah.
What
we had talked about this a while ago, too, when I came in there. And that was a discussion that we agreed on, right? Because we look at how sometimes women get support in their groups.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, you know, they have those groups and those support groups, and they excel in a lot of different ways because of that. And that's what I was saying to you earlier. We have to try to not recondition as much, but we have to try to promote more collaboration with stuff instead of just the competition, right? Because if anybody understands how that competition is, that competition could be a lonely thing by itself, right? And not everybody's going to be successful. So sometimes we have to have people to help support in different areas. But yeah, that's a good, the barbershop thing was one competition we had. And most men will go and they'll talk and they'll wait for a haircut. They'll be sixth in line and wait and have good talk and leave there feeling better just from maybe expressing themselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, so one of these ministries should do, like you say, a campaign, you know, talk to your barber, talk to your taxi driver, talk to your this, talk to your that, you know what I mean? Talks for encouraging men to talk.
Well, Mace, I will give credit to where credit is due. There was a thing called Empower TT. I was part of that last year or year before. And then there's a new one now that they have where they deal with the men, right? it's like a cohort, and they deal with the men. They go into the different community centers when they're trying to get these guys for a class. But I think what we have to stay away from is just creating these short-term programs, because the crisis is not a short-term crisis. The crisis is a crisis. So therefore, we need to find things that continue into programs, and into things that we execute and we put out there. But again, you have to also look at sometimes where the ideas are coming from. If the ideas are coming from the same place over and over and over and over and over and over again, maybe it's time to look at it a little bit differently. And even with the resources that they do have, maybe we need to look a little bit deeper at the resources and say, is this an effective resource? And if not, how do we now implement something that's a little bit more effective? If that makes any sense.
But look at that. But look, I'm watching what's going on right now, right? We're having this discussion here, inviting men to call. We're just talking about some kind of politics thing. They call in, call in, call in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One call from a female. But men going through, boy. Men going through. Men going through.
Listen, I struggle with this constantly, because... You feel as though you want to get the men involved. And I think sometimes from my conversations with a lot of men, they would listen to the program enough.
And but they wouldn't control. Look out, somebody calling it. Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, Bass.
Yeah, man.
I listen to your program, you and the gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Trinidad society, boy, is a society where built on man is macho and this thing, you know. A woman will confide more in a woman than a man in a man, you know. Because a man believes he tell this something, this will go and tell him, and it must have a mama guy, man, getting fatty. It's a solid society where you find man don't come out as a strong like woman. Because a man, if I tell this something, and by next thing, this go and tell some man, I think it's by your shop talkers or your colleagues, and that's spread. And so that would already go on. Man, I have confidence much in men, like a woman has confidence in women.
Yeah.
You understand?
And some
that's a good point.
Some men like women, they like to talk people. Look, somebody was now blowing me up there. There's I have a real good partner of mine. His daughter is not doing too well, and we have a common friend, and she was telling me, well, you didn't tell me so daughter was ill. I said, but that is not my thing to tell you. He told me if he wanted to tell you, he would have told you. You know what I mean? But she ended up finding out. Well, he ended up telling her, like she spoke to him and they telling her, but he confided in me and I kept that to myself. I am somebody that keeps things to myself. I will go to my grave with something that you tell me, you know, but I don't really think and talk people business and talk. So you have to know who you're talking to as a man as well.
You know? Yeah. But you know, you mentioned something about, like, you know, talking to somebody and if they keep the secret or not, right? We did a couple conversations with some men last year or year before last year. And one of the things that the men said to me about therapy, a lot of the men said to me they're not going to go to therapy because of the fact that when they go to the therapist, they have a fear that the therapist, because it's the community is such a small community,
will tell people
and then they will see them and they will feel like in a way. And this is why I said We have to form something, and if the resources are there, I will give them, it might be there. We need to take a deeper look at the resources and see what we could do to create something that people could call anonymously and be able to talk and have the conversation. Because the lady rightfully mentioned the community centers and the hospital and these type of things. Okay, what is the percentage of men you think will literally go into the Rima Hospital or Grandy Hospital or clinic?
Exactly, you know. Yeah, exactly. Right? That's very small. Nobody ain't going.
So as a 2026 initiative, it should be where by now you could call and talk to somebody and don't have to give your name, but at least have the conversation with a trained.
You should be able to call. You should be able to do that on your computer if you want to, or some kind of website.
I must take time off from my job to go into a clinic and sit down and then wait, and then if they don't have time, come back tomorrow.
First of all, you're walking and there's no privacy. Everybody watching you.
Yeah.
Thing. Where you come
but
here
this
for
is why I say sometimes I think we live in the old narrative.
Yeah, boy.
We're living in our old narrative, old different tribes. They're trying to solve things in a 1996 way. We're in 2026, we're still looking at old ways of doing stuff. Mm. And that's why I said the resources that are available, somebody, anybody, needs to take a deeper look at it and do the research to see if it is working, if it's effective or ineffective, and make the tweaks to adjust to what you have now. Because, okay, the young people, they express themselves online.
Yeah.
Literally, they'll go to TikTok and tell you exactly. The same guy, Shaquille, right? if I pronounce his name correctly. Hopefully I am.
All right.
He, somebody, as soon as I got the message in the morning when it happened, or when it came up, somebody sent me a video of him talking, like you said, this whole preaching. But
yeah, he was very positive.
Right? And you will tell me, so he came there comfortable enough to come on there and talk that talk. Now I researched some more of his videos, and there were a lot of signs out there. A lot of conversations that he was putting out there that somebody should have called him and say, yo, you're good. But then this is the country we live in. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, but don't. Right? And this is why I continue to have these conversations, because base, who else you can invite to talk about these things with these men's issues that are coming on here to talk about?
Boy, I don't know. But look at woman calling again. Miss Arima, hello.
Yeah, there? Good afternoon again.
Yeah, you see, men going through, but going through. Fed up with him. Yeah.
You have a problem, mm-hmm. or your brother or your son have a problem,
mm-hmm.
call 800-SAVE. You don't have to pay for the call base, and you talk to the person.
800-SAVE?
SAVE.
SAVE, okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. SAVE. So when you're talking to the person, you say what you can tell him. A bit kind of scared, you know, to talk about it, you know, because the person on that end don't know you. And don't know who it is calling. Because when you call, they will put through to someone who you can speak to. The system will put you through someone.
Mm.
And you can talk to that person.
Yeah.
And depends how you feel about it, you must get a response according to what it is you are talking about, base. And if it is you need further counseling, they will make arrangement with you to do it. If you need help to come out of your situation for a while, they will assist you. But I'm not sure if they have place presently for men to remove from their situation. But I know personally they have places for women and their children to go to.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
That's another thing too, God. If a man, you know, wants to, let me say, come out of the home and just go in a little safe space where he could go to.
You what safe spaces are you talking about, please?
But no, let's say there's problems in the home and you just want to, you know, come on, go somewhere. You can't go by a partner, a friend. You just want to go somewhere now, you know?
But so, we go back to the support system.
Yeah.
Go back to the people that they have around them, because again, you have people around you, right? When things go bad, you can't find nobody, you know?
True.
I mean? And this is why I say we have to have these things in place. Now, what she's saying, again, it's so funny that the ladies are calling to give us information about stuff that men should be using, right? But let me give you some more. There's Lifeline, right, where you could call.
Mm.
There's a stress clinic in Mount Hope, I think, or somewhere down there. There should be one in Mount Hope as well, right? And then there's a whole thing I posted on my page about the numbers you can call and all these things. Again, those are some of the resources that we only get into see visibly when something is happening, right? Think about it this way. Every day something is happening. It may not make the news. It might be happening within our family. It might be an attempt. And they might not have completed it.
All right. Look, I see another call coming. Hello, good afternoon.
Beth.
Yeah.
Yes, greetings to you and your guests.
So, real keeping up. You see a woman calling again. Why, Menazi was
I sent her voice note, but probably didn't pick it up.
Okay, yeah.
The call that lady just information gave.
Yeah.
The hotline is the National Domestic Violence Hotline 800-SAVE.
Mm-hmm.
I work on that hotline as a hotline listener for years.
Okay.
And mostly women are the ones who call. Men don't call. Very rare they call.
Yeah.
Right? So, and next thing to base, too many parents are enablers. A father is smoking and he buying a cigarette for his son.
Yeah, boy. True.
Too many parents' development is arrested development. They're 40 but behaving like 20.
Hmm.
And they want to be on the same lane, doing the same things like the teenage sons and daughters.
Yeah.
How they could be role models. Thank you.
All right. How they could be. Parents are enablers, enabling. Mother, good son. You know? That mother, good son scenario.
Well, you know the interview, right? That's happened all the time. Once the interview come on and something happen.
Oh, boy. So as we wrap it up, I got to see somebody else calling in. Hello, good afternoon.
Nice program, gentlemen. Good afternoon to you, Bass. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, look at man, boy. The men of men.
What?
Rolly Jr., boy.
Boy, Bass, let me tell you something. I listen to the program, and one of the things that, now, as I always tell people, and it's not a fallacy, I grew up real poor.
Mm-hmm.
10 of us. But you know what our parents teach us? My mother in particular. and I met citizens on this program already. When I was going to get married, my sister told me, Mr. Man, if you know you can't take any lady daughter, leave she alone. That's in relation to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So my view is as always a listen. As a man, to run a family, you have to be in charge. Man are leaders. Men coming across in the 20th, well, whatever century we're in, as though they have to be pity, they have to carry them for counseling. This, may I say we don't have problems, you know. But I think we are more softer. We are not trained to be to run family. If we start from schooling, we start boys from schooling to be not so much men.
Well, did you know you're sounding like a man that a man cannot talk to about his problems? You know?
Yes, yes. My son could talk to me. And you know, I talked to him. And me have it perfect, you know. But the whole question of talking to men today, for what I observe in my space and my experience with men, is that some men believe that, listen, you have to sympathize with them, understand their plight. To avoid that part of your life, what are the root cause of some men's problems? Let me give you an example. A fellow might ask you for $1,000 borrow, but you might ask two other men for $1,000 borrow, and he might have a drug problem. So sometimes we don't know out there. And if you do the data and show that, listen, most men not staying in school, not doing this, what can we do to really put measures in place for them to stay there? And that's it for me, B. But to understand certain men's problems and that kind of thing,
I'm
not going too far with that. I will help, but there are limitations because men dig holes, jump into it, and walk base, and roll the junior to pull them out. No brother. Some men have to stay in the hole, boy.
You see how what men stop? You see why men can't talk to men? I can't go to Raleigh Junior. A man can't go to him with a problem because he's going to say, look, you went and make child when you was young. You think you put yourself in a hole.
The point that he's making, again, I think there's always a percentage of somebody's perspective that would make sense to you, right? So for me, I understand what he's saying because my father is the same way, or was, or he. That's how he his approach is. Now you have to remember that's how that generation would have been, right?
Yeah.
Now he mentioned something that I think we cannot overlook because of all the other things that he was saying. And again, this is his perspective, so we have to respect it. He talked about the school. But you and I just talked about the school.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the male role models in the school?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the male teachers? So if we saying that at home, you teach your son, and then that's the time you have at home with him. And yes, we don't want everybody to have to complain about it. And it's so funny that when we talk about men talking about stuff and their issues, they become victims. But when women talk about their stuff and their issues, they're not victims though, right? So but anyhow, that's the next conversation. But let's talk about the school. When he goes into the school, even the all-boys school have mainly female teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So if he spends the majority of his time in the school, even if you think you put a drop in your bucket at home and the majority of the bucket being filled in school, where's his male role model or male mentorship?
For real.
So it's not like these are not valid points. These are all valid points. And we're not saying that, oh God, now as a man, you have to be so way and you have to be this way and you have to be that way. And it could be a cultural issue. I get that.
Mm.
So, okay. Well, then what are the things?
Right now, there's some women listening to us and say, hear them. You think they want to say that's Sophie, man.
No, and that's fine, you know. Mm. That's fine. Because a lot of the conversation that we have in here, men are having it with themselves.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, boy, Trinity.
But listen, I'll tell you something. You see the problem in society today, and I agree with religion, you know, it's the first time I can say I agree with the man. He talk like a boss. he might be the better in the three of them, you know, but that's nothing. I like them all because I like to hear them. But hear us now. You see, men don't take their rightful places.
Mm-hmm.
Look, even PTA in school, who going to it? Women.
Mm-hmm.
They going to check on the children to see how the children are in school, them business for that. Who going to church now? Who leading in the church in the spirituality now? Is women going to church with the children to keep the fort? You know what I'm saying? And even praying for them men and them too.
Hmm.
And then out here, some of them men, not all, some of them wicked. You understand? But I don't know. Something wrong with these fellas and them. And that way, see, we have so much of people I know, a single parent. You understand? And that's the problem in society today. Men haven't tried not even looking up. I don't have a partner. But listen, I don't want to come out here and talk in my business. But I have a partner right now. The man don't drink and don't smoke. And always abusing the family, verbally and otherwise. The three children and the wife. Always abusing them. You understand? And don't drink and don't smoke based on all these people. They need to check themselves. I don't know if frustration causing that or weight is causing that. But you have to make no choice for your state of mind and for other people's mind. If you know you have a proper worker, you're living no way, you're renting or something, think on these things. Have one child or two children, in the case, maybe you own your business, right? Mm. Listen.
All right, but a man not having children by himself, you know. Women not know how to choose men properly, right? Choose the right men when Dr. Rowley said that only wanted to kill him. But boy, I know what to say again, by God, boy. It is.
No, this is the reason why it has to have more continuous, consistent conversation. Because we want the people to say stuff like what we just hear. We want to hear those type of things so that we could help to form the solution. Because, okay, we talk about, look, we just mentioned the thing with the schools today or tomorrow. And this is why sometimes I don't even bother to come on these type of conversations for a long period of time. Because tomorrow, are you and I going to feel better about what we discuss? Is anything going to change? Right? You leave the conversation today and you feel better about it. Or do we have still the mentality of that's just how it is here? Because that's what you're hearing. You're hearing like, oh, okay, the thing with the kids, I agree 100%. The thing with what the man say about his son, I agree 100%. I've had to have conversation with my own son. And there's still issues that he will have upon himself because he's an individual. I can't fix nothing for him.
Yeah.
But then when you look at where they came from and the guidance they had when they were going to school, now it's different. And because it's different, you're seeing the repercussion or you're seeing the results of it being a little bit different. And we're saying, let's pinpoint some areas and let's try to adjust in some areas. The resources, take a deeper look. Schools, let's see if we can encourage more men to be back in the school system to be the male mentors, because we already do the research and realize there are a lot of single families with mothers raising boys. So we know what the issues are because we're talking about it openly. But are we discussing what the solution can look like? And who are the people making these decisions? Are they on the ground? Are they listening to what's going on? Did they even listen to your program today? Most times, no.
Yeah.
Most times, no. That's why they keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, boy. It's worse. All right, boy, God, well, boy, keep fighting the good fight. And, you know, you can't give up on the men all day, boy. And they're going through, but, you know, we can't give up.
Don't the men give up on themselves, boy, baseball.
Yeah, true, for real.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, you get, when we get calls and you get a call from somebody that's saying something, I really enjoy the fact that they have a perspective. But at the end of the perspective, I want to hear, well, what is the solution? Because the problems, we can find them any and everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? But the conversation is, what is the solution? Like, I spoke to you about some things that we should take a look at, because those are the things that could help. It's not going to change. This is years of conditioning, years. How do we now start to implement these things for a long-term project instead of these short-term, you know, let's just put a Band-Aid on it. Let's just fill the hole in the bucket. Just hold it until it pop again.
For real. I take a final call there. Final call before I go. Hello, good afternoon.
Calling from any base. Good program.
Yeah.
The next fella, greetings, man. Good evening.
Got you.
My son is 44 now, but he used to go bookman at Chelsea. I shouldn't call the name of the school. Somebody keep you watching. So the teacher called me and said, me come and check him and think he'll teach you what. But I'm going in for about 20. They said, go by the dean of discipline and wait. When I see the dean of discipline coming, the dean of discipline had two ring on his. I said, but where the hell is this? I said, listen. I said, sir, here what happened? I'll come to make a report about the people steal my son watch. And I ain't go bother again. I go buy back the watch. He said, why? And I just kill it for credit. What dinner discipline do? They have no respect for dinner discipline with two wearing in here, and I just come out the food.
All right. He's not disciplined, two wearing in here. Nothing wrong with that. Well, I mean, maybe in the school, him being kind of old school, you know, because you have to remember the teachers right now, they are a bit younger too. A lot of the teachers are younger too. It happens sometimes, watch my foot, the female teachers say they go events, and some of these students approaching them, hey, miss, what's going on? You know?
But that's a whole nother conversation.
I'm telling you, they're coming up.
You understand?
You know, so.
But one that we should be having as well, too. But again, you know, in time.
Many things, man. All right, boy, God. Well, thank you very much for your time, man. And, you know, keep up the good
appreciate
fight with
your
the
face, as usual.
All right, man. Yeah, man.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.